It is such a joy to be able to join in and worship with you. And as we were singing these songs, it just kind of wave upon wave of memories of God's goodness and just to reflect on Jesus. And by the way, as I'm up here sharing with you, I need him just as much as y'all do too. And he's Lord. Let me say thank you to the church family. It has been such an amazing week. You know, it's also been a troubling week. There have been many who've lost their homes, and we're conscious of it. We're mindful of it. We're praying for those folks. One of my friends, Stephen Tolbert, and Steve, if you're watching this, I love you, man. Good friend. He and his family, they lost their home in Altadena. And Steve and his family, they love the Lord. And I remember him sharing with us, he said, you know, I may have lost my house, but I have not lost my faith in God. And he, the servant that he is, rallying with the people in his community, and they kind of have an area to dispense food and clothing and all of that. And he's bouncing back and working with folks with regard to first responders. One of my buddies from college, Mark Smith, he's on the executive team with Red Cross. And it's strange to know somebody that you grew up with and see them in their element doing what they do. And I said, look at God, look at that. And so so that being said, troubling times, you get to see people rise to the occasion. The fire can test indeed, and it does, but it also refines. But let me say, to finish that thought of gratitude for Community Bible Church, there was so many of you who called, text, you know, Charles, we're praying for you, praying for your family. And several of you just moments notice were like, hey, our house is open. And I tell you, it was such a blessing. I was overwhelmed because it was like, man, all these. And I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but just to know that we as a family, my wife, Norlin, Charles, Joe, Layla, John, I know you haven't met all of my family, but just they were blessed to know that they're loved like that. And for some of my family who are not presently walking with Jesus, that was a witness to them. So I appreciate that. What else to say? Yeah, fires get hot. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Not that we were directly at it, but to see it light and then be heading in our direction and know folks were praying and then watching the footage and them dropping water and just bear with me a little bit. It's humbling because there are things that are clearly out of our control. And it's like, well, okay, y'all, we got the evacuation warning. Time to go. And the pack up, we got our papers, and y'all probably know this, you have all your legal documents, you know, your clothes, food, 3 days, got our pets, time to go. Don't play around, let's go. And it was just humbling and also at the same time encouraging from the family side that my kids were like, okay, Dad, we're ready. And we all got in. But as we prayed over the course of about 6-7 hours to watch the fires kind of go from heading in our direction to going eastward and northward, and just to know that really it was the grace of God that spared us. So I stand here today grateful for that, grateful for y'all, grateful, yeah, let's hand clap for Jesus. Yeah. And in an odd way, these times are reminders that there is a creator. In the most basic sense, it just reminds us that there is God. And it humbles us, and it causes us to reflect and also depend on him, or it can. So with that in mind, I hope what you shared this morning from the Covenant series, and if you have your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, and we're going to look at this new covenant. And I hope you're praying with me. We've been walking through what the Bible has to say about these sacred promises that God makes. And when God makes a promise, he keeps it. And so with this text of scripture, just to prayerfully share this, sometimes we land in one text of scripture and just kind of walk through it and by God's grace, look at what it says, what it means, who are the people. That's called expository teaching. That's just a fancy way of saying you're not carrying your own ideas to the text, but you're praying to look at what is there being communicated from the text. That's what we're praying for. Today is a little bit of topical, and it's not that I'm trying to cook up anything, but the Bible has a lot to say about the new covenant in more than one place. So as we look mainly at Jeremiah, later in the Gospels, Jesus talks about the new covenant at the Lord's Supper in Luke 22, verse 20. Some things that we'll walk through. We're going to look at how God does judge, but at the same time, God gives hope. God does judge, but he gives hope. And in a new covenant, because of what Jesus did at the cross for your sins and mine, where he judged sin on our behalf by taking it on himself at the cross, talking about Jesus, we who put our faith in Jesus Christ and his righteousness have hope. Did you catch that? So with that in mind, let's pray. And Steve just paged right there. Let me put this on silent. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. I'm reminded of that great hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear." What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. So as we pray, enlighten us by your Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross. May your words from your scripture speak to your people, that the name of Jesus would be lifted up and we'd all be encouraged. Amen. Amen. So the book of Jeremiah, it's one of the larger books in the Old Testament, and it's a bit of a hearty read. To sit down and start it and go through it is kind of tough. It's a nourishing book spiritually because it has a lot to say about the character of God. But I have to honestly say, because of its toughness, it might be a little challenge. Like, for example, who here eats bran for breakfast or oats and stuff like that? I mean, it's good for you. It really is, but it can be a little tough to chew. And so I say all that to say that the book of Jeremiah is a rich, wonderful book. And to set the context of it, I just want to share a little bit of background before we read Jeremiah 31. So it takes place during the time in the life of the prophet Jeremiah, and it was a tumultuous time. Jeremiah lived from 650 to 570 BC, or before the birth of Christ. He lived during the late 7th and 6th centuries. He began his prophetic ministry during the reign of King Josiah of Judah. And King Josiah, if you've read about him, he was a good king. He was a young man who the temple had been in disrepair. They had lost really the word of God. And while they're cleaning up and fixing the temple, they find the scriptures. And then when it's read, the king discovers, like, whoa, we're doing things so against God. King Josiah's heart was broken and moved to say, hey, we as a people need to turn back to God. So that was who King Josiah was, and he was one of the people that, one of the kings, that Jeremiah was serving under. But after Josiah's death, Judah, or the nation of Israelites to the south, and this is a lot of background, you had Israel to the north and Judah to the south, they faced political instability. They were caught between two major superpowers, Egypt, let me get my directions right, Egypt in the south and Babylon over to the north east. So they were nestled between two world powers that were at odds, and sometimes the Israelites relied more on their political alliances than on God. Does that have relevance today? As if any human being could change the hearts of men. And so Jeremiah was raised up to give very unpopular sayings during that time. And God would speak to Jeremiah and say, go tell them, thus saith the Lord. And he would have to go out in front of people that sometimes they hated him and wanted to kill him. And far from the glamour of quote-unquote preaching, it was a tough job, but he was so full of the Holy Spirit, so full of his God, let me say it that way, that whenever he tried to hold his peace, it was like fire in his bones. Utterly devoted to God and was indeed honored and rewarded by God as he served him. So Jeremiah's ministry spanned during those reigns of kings from Josiah to Jehoiakim to Joachim, Zedekiah. And sadly, during his prophetic ministry, as he's trying to call the people, let's turn back to God, let's turn back to God, let's turn back to God, he watched his nation turn away further and eventually fall. He witnessed the literal falling of Jerusalem to the Babylonians in 586 BC. Now, this is so, I'm not trying to be dour or anything, but I'm trying to set the context of the scriptures we're going to read. There was a sense that Jeremiah was warning them of God's judgment. Hey, guys, what we're doing here isn't right. Turn back, turn back, turn back, turn back. God's judgment falls. Boom. And just as they had been rescued from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, brought into a promised land and were blessed, and when they turned their back on God, experienced his judgment, they went from being liberated from Egypt several days or centuries later to now they're in bondage in Babylon, a second captivity. So as I reflect on this, we here in America, and I'm not getting into politics, we have been blessed to not have had a foreign power come and take us over. So we're having to, as we read scripture, to get it in context, we have to kind of cross bridges. Like, what would it be like to be a Jew in that area and to watch from afar a bunch of chariots and horses come to take over your home? So this is the context. So as you kind of feel that, you can also feel that amidst these stories that God gave to Jeremiah to write, there's hope too. There's a sense of restoration. There's a sense that it will be set to right. Even as they were in the midst of their instability politically, their idolatry, and also their actions of injustice. People of Judah having turned away from God in response to really turning their idols, they did incur God's judgment. But although the main theme of this book does deal with judgment, it also has hope for the future. Hope for a new covenant. Jeremiah's message in the midst of that warning was a hope for restoration and that God would one day have a covenant with his people that would not and could not be broken. So with that, Jeremiah 31. In fact, verse 27. And if you take notes, we're going to look at this thing of the new covenant and really appreciate all the work that the ministry team hears. You might even write your notes in your bulletin there. Jeremiah 31, verse 27. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah, this is verse 27, with the seed of man and with the seed of a beast, as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to overthrow, to destroy, and to bring disaster, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, declares the Lord. Verse 29, in those days they will not say again, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone will die for his own iniquity. Each man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth will be set on edge. Verse 31. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, and the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. And look at this, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Amen. That is some good news. So here we have one of the teachings in Jeremiah, this beautiful message and prophecy of future hope and restoration of a new covenant. And we see God himself making certain promises that he will deliver, and he does them through the wonderful person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the gospel, that God, who does judge and punish sin, is willing to forgive and restore and build up. I don't know about you, but that's good news. As we have fires raging in the hill, in many ways symbolic of the fiery judgment of God, this same God is willing to forgive. Now that all by itself, I hope, is good news for you. We have a God who loves. We have a God who's righteous, who judges. And indeed, he is, my pop and them would say, he's nothing to play with. But he's also loving. He's merciful. And so I want you to share with you today, by God's grace, about this new covenant, four things: a new standing, a new perspective, a new covenant, and a new heart. I'll say that again, and we'll draw them from this text: a new standing, a new perspective, a new covenant, and a new heart. I'm going to pray again. Father, you've been so good to us, and I'm just a beggar who is showing other beggars where the bread is. So this poor sinner, by your grace, empower me to preach your word. I thank you for the cross and for his righteousness in which I stand. Amen. The new covenant, a new standing. In this portion of the book, we see Jeremiah speaking about, behold, days are coming. In scripture and prophecy, Old Testament, you hear often the day of the Lord or the visitation of the Lord. There's a sense that just as you would look and stare at mountains far away, looking for something far off that will have an impact right now, the prophet speaking by the word of God talks about this coming days where his people, the Israelites in Israel and Judah, that God's stand or their standing with God would change. Verse 28 speaks as this: as I've watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to overthrow, jump down, I will build and I will plant in those days. For the children of Israel, in the covenant of God, God made certain promises to them. You can read this for yourself in Exodus chapter 20. When he reveals himself to them, he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the house of slavery, out of the house of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. And then he goes through the law and he gives them his covenant that they were to keep. He said, you are to be careful to do these things. And when you don't, he gave them the means to go forward with sacrifices, to seek the Lord through burnt offerings, for sin, for themselves, for their family. But over time, the caution was this, and you could read this in Deuteronomy 27, 28. Lord, help me remember. He says, when you get in that land and you live in houses that you didn't build and you're blessed in all these ways and you're blessed in the city and the field, and watch out lest you turn from me. He gave promises. You can read it for yourself. Deuteronomy 27, 28. He says, if you obey my word and you walk in my ways, an army will come at you one way, they'll flee seven. Your children will be blessed, your family blessed. All these blessings by abiding and walking in relationship with your God. But if you don't, those chapters in Deuteronomy says, if you don't and you turn from me and you don't walk according to my ways, that army will come at you one way. You'll flee seven ways. You'll have all these curses come upon you. And just as human beings do, we often forget where we come from. Get a little bit too good, get a little bit easy, or in some cases we become embittered by life and we turn on God. And that's what the Israelites did. So they got in the land. They were free from slavery, but they got in the land and they started doing the same things the Egyptians were doing to them. That's history, by the way. Globally, one group is down, another one gets up, and then they treat the other one the way they were down, and that's how people do. Well, the good news. Verse 27 through 28, he says, so I will watch, down at 28, I will watch over them to build and to plant, declares the Lord. There's this promise of a new standing with him, that the same God who judges and indeed can judge sin is able to build and restore. And we see that in the lives of people who he transforms and changes. He can even do that with the natural world. Those same fires that are burning up the sides, and I won't go on and on about this, germinates the seeds for future growth. A new standing. And the fact that he said those days are coming, he's promising to the Israelites then, I'm going to be active in building you up. Who wants and needs to be built up? I'll raise my hand right here. A new standing. But then there's also a new perspective. Verse 29, in those days they will not say again, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. So they had this saying was basically this. My problems are all because of mom and dad. Charles International Version translation. It was a euphemism. It was a way of saying that in Israel, what mom and dad, what they're eating, it affected the kids. Do parents have influence on children? Yes. But when we all stand before God, who will give an account, the parent or the child? The child. It's a saying that when we're born, we look like our parents, but when we die, we'll look like our decisions. That's one to tuck away. And so with this new standing comes a new perspective. It says, verse 30, but everyone will die for his own iniquity. Each man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth will be set on edge. There is a sense in the new covenant that we who receive a new standing come to a new perspective that I need Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. Did you catch that? In a world then and now that's often blaming everybody and everyone, everybody will give an account to God for themselves. You who are on the line, there's good news today. This same God is a forgiving God. Just as we're here talking about it here, you online, the same thing. I can camp out on that one. But I won't do it. A new perspective. But then here's the new covenant. Behold, days are coming. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers. Look at that. The day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them. It is fascinating to hear God speak in the first person. Just reflecting on, you hear his heart. You hear his wisdom. But you also hear, here's how he was relating to his children in this way. A new covenant. It's so much about a relationship. We often hear that said, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. But even here, beyond that, faith in Jesus Christ, the Christian life is about a relationship. And this is a covenant. Notice the I wills. Notice God's supernatural initiative to bring these things about. This is very different from what the Pharisees did. Here's where I'm a bit topical. Because the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day of Christ, We're jumping fast forward from Jeremiah to the time of Christ. They prided themselves on religious performance. And I hope you hear what I'm saying here, that God is the one that is the one who initiates salvation. Amen. Ephesians 2, for by grace you are saved by faith. It's a gift, not of yourself. So if I'm drowning in the water, and I'm not just drowning, I'm down at the bottom of the pool, I need a Savior to jump in and bring me up. So when we sing the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saves a like me. This is the beauty of the new covenant, because God rescued those wretches out of Egypt, brought them into the land. They turned their back on him, but he still was willing to rescue them again. He's loyal and faithful. I, the Lord your God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in. He introduces himself that way throughout the Bible. The covenant name of God, L-O-R-D, speaks of this is who he is. I hope I'm not frightening y'all. It's kind of quiet this morning. but to know that he loves us like that. When I used to travel quite a bit, I listened to all kinds of gospel music, everything from the traditional tunes to contemporary, some rock, some even rap. But one of my favorites was from David Crowder, Oh, How He Loves Us. I can listen to that over and over and over and over and over. And it's true. He is jealous for us. And so even during Jeremiah's day, with all the shenanigans that were going on, God says, I'm going to make a covenant, a new covenant. And Jesus Christ, before he went to the cross, is sitting with his disciples. He breaks bread. Take, eat. This is my body, which I give for you. Huh? Gives a cup. This is my blood for a new covenant. This is the Christian hope. And this is what was initiated by the Lord. You've heard in Revelation, it says, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. And this is the wonderful power of the Lord. You may even feel him now, that you sense it was the Holy Spirit. Like, I hear the man talking, but there's something going on right here in my heart. I used to sit in the back of the church when I was a kid. I put on sunglasses and I kind of, and then some days I would hear the Bible being taught, and it was like the Spirit was pulling on my heart. Like, young man, you're going to face your Creator one day. Have you thought about that? I'm like, no, actually I haven't. And there's a sense that this new covenant, and we're going to get to this in a moment, it lands right in the heart. It lands right in the heart. New standing, new perspective, a new covenant, and yeah, a new heart. Look at the verses here in verse 33. It says this, but this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. Look at this. I will put my law within them and on their heart. I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. And oh, look at this promise, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Amen. Anybody glad about that? Woo. as we strive and fight against sin in our lives, rest in the wonderful gift of this new covenant, that when he says, I will put my law in the heart, this is the work of God. God changes the heart. We respond by faith. Somebody says, if Jesus knocks at the door, let him in. The devil comes and knocks at the door, ask Jesus to answer the door. Jesus, I need some help on this one. Because the power to change is within him. And this is the beauty of this new covenant. For the Israelites then, for most of us here who are Gentiles in this world, young, old, rich, poor, all stations of life, this same new covenant is visiting people from the heart. And it is amazing. Some of you may have grown up in church all your life. Some of us have been in the streets. But the same Jesus is able to come into the heart, change it, and then now you're walking with Jesus. And in sanctification, more and more, he's saying, you can let that go, let that go. Take hold of me here, walk with me, and more you become like him as you walk with him, till one day when we pass from this world, all our sinful ways will go from us, and we will be with him in paradise and see him forever, because he loves you. And God is so good, he'll bless you even some right now. Before I take my seat, this new covenant is what and why we share the gospel, we go on mission in our neighborhood, in our home, and just know that it's the gift of God, and it's available for you and for me, and to grow in that. So as I pray for you, and maybe you know someone who needs to know that God is a forgiving God, and maybe you just need to be reminded, I do too, that we can appreciate that, and it'll transform us as we walk with him according to his ways. So I want to pray, and then we'll invite the worship team back up. Father, thank you for this time. It is a new day. And just as we're experiencing the renewal that comes from rain onto this dry, scorched earth, renew our hearts, renew our minds, renew our spirits, and may this day be a day we walk closer with you. Ask your blessings on these, your people. In the name of Jesus, amen.